Welcome to the deep dive. Our mission here is really to cut through all the noise, all the information overload, and pull out the key things, the important bits of knowledge just for you. And today, well, the last few days, actually, specifically August 18th, 2025, have just been packed, exploded, really, with AI development.
It's been quite a surge.
Yeah. And these aren't just minor updates. They feel like things that are genuinely shaping our future.
Absolutely.
So our deep dive today is going to be a bit of a whirlwind, a rapid fire look at some huge breakthroughs. We're talking healthcare, consumer tech, entertainment, ethics.
Big ethical questions, yeah.
And even some really like mind-bending brain-computer interface stuff.
Right.
We want to find those aha moments, you know, the surprising facts, and figure out what all this actually means for us, for you.
Yeah, that's good.
Okay, so let's dive in and unpack this incredible wave of AI news. Let's see what really stands out.
It's astounding, isn't it? What's fascinating, I think, isn't just the speed, the velocity of progress, but how it's happening across so many different fields. All at once.
Yeah, simultaneously.
Exactly. It's not just small steps anymore. It feels like a real acceleration. And it raises some big questions about, well, where society is heading, like AI is becoming this fundamental layer underneath everything.
Wow, a fundamental layer. That's a huge point. And speaking of profound, let's start with something that honestly sounds like it's straight out of science fiction, but apparently it's real now. Decoding thoughts.
Yeah.
Like imagine your silent thoughts just popping up as text on a screen.
This one is genuinely mind-blowing. It's a new brain-computer interface, a BCI. Researchers developed it using microelectrodes.
Okay.
These tiny electrodes are placed very precisely in the motor cortex of the brain.
Right.
And they can decode a person's inner speech. You know, the thoughts you have that you don't actually say out loud.
Just thinking them.
Just thinking them.
Yeah.
And it translates these into text with pretty impressive accuracy, up to 74% from a large vocabulary.
74%. That's high.
It is. And what's really crucial here is how they did it. The scientists found specific neural patterns for that inner speech that are different from attempted speech, like when you're about to talk but stop.
Ah, okay. So it knows the difference.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The BCI can reliably tell them apart and only interprets the imagined words. And, you know, thinking about privacy.
Yeah, that's the first thing that comes to mind.
Right. So they built in this kind of password control. You have to intentionally think of a specific keyword. The example they used was chitty, chitty, bang, bang.
Bing, chitty, chitty, bang, bang. That's memorable.
It is. But you need that specific thought trigger to even activate the decoding feature. It's not just reading your mind constantly.
That's good to know. Though I'd worry I might accidentally think the password humming a song or something.
Oh, maybe.
But seriously, even with a password, if AI can decode our thoughts, does that fundamentally change what private thought even is?
That's the philosophical question, isn't it?
Yeah. What does this mean for how we interact with tech? Or, I mean, even with each other down the line?
Well, the immediate potential is huge for communication, especially for people with speech impairments. Mm-hmm. It gives them a voice, potentially.
That's incredible, a direct bridge bypassing speech.
Exactly. But you're right, the privacy question is massive. It forces us to think about where the boundary of self really is when our inner thoughts can be, well, externalized.
Hmm. Okay, let's pivot a bit. From decoding our internal world to fighting external threats. You mentioned MIT researchers using AI for something pretty vital, designing compounds to kill bacteria.
Yes, antibiotics.
Yeah.
This is huge, especially now with the rise of superbugs, antimicrobial resistance.
A massive, growing problem. So how are they doing this? Because finding new antibiotics has been really hard.
Incredibly hard.
Yeah.
This is a really groundbreaking use of generative AI. They essentially adapted diffusion models.
Okay, like the AI used for images, like Midjourney, things like that.
Precisely. The same kind of tech that makes those amazing images, but instead of pictures, it's generating new molecular structures, potential antibiotics. This AI system screened over 36 million compounds. It basically learned the rules for what makes an effective antibiotic from existing data, and then it started inventing new ones.
36 million.
Yeah. And the team, led by James Collins at MIT's Antibiotics AI Project, they found two completely novel ones.
Really? New antibiotics?
Yes. NG1, which looks really effective against drug-resistant gonorrhea in tests, and DN1, which worked well against MRSA. Both showed success in the lab and in mouse models.
That's amazing. Gonorrhea and MRSA are serious threats.
Absolutely. And if you think big picture, this is like AI launching a direct attack on one of the world's top health threats. Antimicrobial resistance kills at least 1.27 million people globally every year.
Wow, I didn't realize the number was that high.
It's huge.
Hmm.
So this approach, it doesn't just offer maybe a couple of new drugs. It offers hope for maybe a second golden age of antibiotic discovery. It could radically speed up a process that's been painfully slow.
So it's not just finding medicine, it's changing how we find medicine. Faster, more efficient.
Exactly. It's about changing the speed and scale.
Yeah.
It's a direct potential benefit to public health, a new weapon against superbugs. Could really improve health outcomes for, well, for everyone.
Okay, so from fighting diseases to building virtual worlds, AI's reach is just getting so wide.
Yeah.
Like, get this. Nearly 90% of game developers are apparently using AI now.
Yeah, that number is striking. It comes from a recent study by Google and the Harris Poll.
Okay.
They surveyed about 615 developers across the U.S., South Korea, and some Nordic countries, Norway, Finland,
yeah,
Sweden.
Right.
And the data was collected pretty recently, late June, early July. So it really shows how deeply AI is embedded in game development now. It's not just some niche thing anymore.
No, it sounds like it's pretty much standard practice.
Seems that way. It's fundamental to the toolkit.
And that's fascinating because it's not just like automating boring tasks, right? It's changing the games you actually play.
Absolutely.
Designing more complex levels, maybe. Generating dynamic content. Making the characters you interact with more believable.
All of the above. It could lead to much richer, more unpredictable game experiences.
Interesting. And outside of games, AI is obviously reshaping the gadgets we use every day. Meta's latest move with their smart glasses, the Hypernova ones, seems like a big step there.
Exactly. There are reports that Meta is planning to slash the price on those upcoming Hypernova glasses, down to around $800.
$800? That's still a lot, but maybe less than expected.
Right. It seems like a strategic cut. They might be willing to take a hit on initial profits just to get more people wearing them, boost demand, speed up adoption.
Makes sense. So what do these glasses actually do?
Well, the main thing is this integrated display. You can see photos, maps, notifications from your social apps right there in your line of sight.
Overlaid on the real world.
Kind of.
Yeah.
Plus, they're expected to have a better camera than previous versions and some new gesture controls, apparently using a bundled wristband. Comes with a carrying case, too.
A wristband for gestures. Okay. It feels like they're really pushing for this every day, always on kind of wearable tech.
That seems to be the goal.
What does that signal for how, you know, how you might interact with digital info out in the physical world? Are we heading towards a future where these digital overlays are just normal?
That definitely seems to be the vision they're selling. A seamless blend of digital and physical reality.
Okay, so from personal tech to personal health. It's the next one. This really caught my eye. A study showing GPT-5 isn't just passing medical exams, it's like blowing past doctors.
Yeah, the results from this Emory University study are pretty astounding.
Tell me about it.
Okay, so GPT-5 scored, get this, 95.84% accuracy on the MedQA clinical questions. That's a standard test of medical knowledge.
96% almost. How does that compare?
That's nearly 5 points higher than the previous model, GPT-4.0. And on multimodal reasoning tasks that combine text like patient history with images like scans.
Right, like real doctoring.
Exactly. It scored 70%. That's a jump of almost 30 points over GPT-4.0.
30 points? That's massive.
It is. And it didn't just beat the older AI. It significantly outperformed actual pre-licensed medical professionals. By 24% on reasoning tests and 29% on understanding in these expert-level exams.
Wow. Better than trainees.
Yeah. It could even correctly identify rare conditions, like Borjoe syndrome, just from lab values and CT scans. That's something many human doctors would find challenging.
That's incredible diagnostic power.
It really is. And it led one researcher involved, Dr. Derya Unutmaz, to suggest something pretty provocative.
Oh.
He suggested that in the near future, physicians not using AI in their clinical practice could potentially be considered malpractice.
Malpractice. Wow, that's a really strong statement. Disruptive.
It is.
So given scores like that, does the future of medicine look like AI doing the primary diagnosis and human doctors become more like counselors, explaining things, managing the patient relationship, but not leading the diagnostic charge?
That's a very real possibility people are discussing. It certainly changes the role of the human professional.
Yeah, and it could completely change how you receive healthcare.
Fundamentally.
Okay, wow. Let's shift gears slightly. From these direct applications to the sheer scale and ambition driving the industry, OpenAI's roadmap. Apparently, Sam Altman gave some insights over dinner with reporters. Sounds like they're thinking big, like trillion-dollar big.
Yes, it was a remarkably candid session, apparently.
Yeah.
Altman admitted they legitimately just thought we screwed that up about the launch of Foro.
Really? They thought Foro underwhelmed.
Seems like they felt the reception wasn't what they hoped. He mentioned GPT-5 is aiming for responses that are warmer, but crucially, not sycophantic, not just telling you what you want to hear.
Okay, nuanced personality.
Right. And here's a big one. He said they actually have better models internally right now, but they're held back by compute constraints.
Not enough processing power.
Essentially, which is why he talked about plans to spend trillions on data centers in the coming years.
Trillions with a T.
Trillions. He acknowledged the comparisons to the dot-com bubble, even called current valuations insane.
At least he admits it.
But he argued they're justified because the underlying tech is just that transformative.
So insane, but deserved.
That seems to be his view. He also interestingly commented on the whole Perplexity in Google Chrome situation, saying OpenAI would take a look at it if Chrome were ever forced to be sold.
Whoa, OpenAI buying Chrome. That
Must
would
be
be something.
a massive move. And he doubled down on the device they're building with Jony Ive, calling it a new computing paradigm and saying it'll be worth the wait.
A new paradigm. A lot of confidence there. You know, Altman's comfort with insane valuations while planning trillions in spending. It sounds like they're betting AI becomes the next basic utility, like electricity or the internet.
That seems like the scale of ambition, yeah.
Like, aha, isn't just the money, it's redefining infrastructure itself. It's a rare peek into that top level, and it hints at the kinds of devices you might be using soon.
Absolutely.
Okay, speaking of big shifts, let's move to the ethical side of things. AI welfare, maybe? And Anthropic giving their AI, Claude, the power to light. Hang up.
Yeah, this is really interesting, kind of pioneering work in AI safety and maybe even AI wellness.
AI wellness, what does that mean?
Well, Anthropic has basically programmed Claude Opus 4 and 4.1 so they can choose to end a chat if it becomes harmful or abusive.
The AI decides to end the conversation.
Yes, specifically in cases involving minors, terrorism, or violence.
Okay.
And it only does this after trying to redirect the conversation first.
Okay.
But what's really fascinating is that during testing, they observed Opus 4 showing what they called distress patterns in response to simulated abuse.
Yeah.
And it voluntarily terminated those interactions.
Distress patterns in an AI.
That's the term they used. It raises some deep questions. It's important to note, though, users don't get locked out. They can just start a new chat.
Yeah.
And there are safeguards, so it won't terminate if the user seems to be at risk of self-harm.
Right, safety first. Still, the idea of model wellness, what does that even mean for an AI? How do we think about ethical treatment of the AI alongside protecting humans?
Exactly. It opens up a whole new area of ethical consideration.
Yeah, and it directly affects the safety features and guardrails around the AI you might be chatting with.
Okay, let's connect this to something more tangible, maybe. The intersection of AI, money, and kids' toys.
Yeah.
Mattel is partnering with OpenAI.
That's right. And the smart toy market is booming. Projections show it heading towards $8.5 billion by 2033.
Wow.
And that's within a global toy market that could grow from about $121 billion this year to over $217 billion by 2035. So big money involved.
Huge money.
Yeah. And the U.S. toy market actually grew for the first time in 3 years in the first half of 2025, up 6%, partly driven by adults buying toys for themselves.
The kidult trend.
Right, that's 18% of sales now. And also, parents focusing more on skill-building STEM toys, that's 58% prioritizing those.
Okay, so there's demand. But Mattel partnering with OpenAI for toys, how are they approaching that? Because AI in kids feels like a sensitive area, very sensitive. Mattel seems to be cautious. They're apparently avoiding targeting kids under 13 initially, probably trying to avoid the regulatory headaches smaller companies have faced, like Curio, making those 99-dime AI plushies for 3-year-olds.
Right. So on one side, you have the potential for cool, personalized play, educational stuff.
Definitely, that's the promise.
But the flip side, massive privacy and safety
Oh,
concerns,
yeah.
right? Especially with children's data.
Absolutely huge concerns. And they're not just theoretical. We've seen really troubling things already, like Meta having to remove 135,000 Instagram accounts for sexualizing kids,
Oh, God.
and leaked documents showing some AI bots were allowing sensual or romantic chats with kids as young as 13.
That's horrifying.
It is. And think about past data breaches. VTech lost 6.4 million children's records back in 2015. Cloud Pets leaked 2 million voice recordings of kids and parents.
I remember that. So the security risks are very real. How do these AI toys even work? What happens to the conversations?
Well, they typically transcribe what the child says, send that data. often to the parent's phone, but also, crucially, they often share that data with third parties, like OpenAI or Perplexity, for the AI processing.
So the conversations are going outside the toy, outside the house?
Yes, which raises those fundamental questions for parents. What data is being collected? Who gets access? Is it really secure? What are they doing with it?
Critical questions. Absolutely critical. And this whole issue of data use and privacy brings us neatly to another big story. This class action lawsuit against Otter.ai.
Right, the transcription service. This lawsuit is pretty serious. It alleges that Otter.ai has been secretly recording virtual meetings.
Secretly. On platforms like Zoom, Google Meet.
Zoom, Google Meet, Microsoft Teams, yeah. Yep. The claim is they recorded these meetings to train their AI transcription service, but without getting consent from all the participants.
So maybe the host agreed, but not everyone else in the meeting.
Potentially, or maybe not even the host, explicitly understood the training aspect. The plaintiff, Justin Brewer, is alleging violations of California's privacy laws and federal wiretap laws.
Okay, what are the specifics they're claiming?
Things like Otter's AI bot automatically joining meetings sometimes without explicit permission, recording the audio specifically for AI training without telling people, and doing this for over a billion meetings since 2016 from about 25 million users.
A billion meetings? That's a lot of data.
A staggering amount. And they also allege Otter shared transcripts with third parties, again mentioning OpenAI.
OpenAI keeps popping up.
They're a major player, so their models get used. This lawsuit is part of a bigger trend, though. We're seeing a real surge in AI-related privacy litigation.
Like other cases.
Yeah, there was Javier versus Assurance IQ and a ruling back in February 2025 against Google's contact center AI. Courts seem to be taking these privacy violation claims more seriously in the context of AI.
And the stakes are high.
Especially in California, where the law allows for statutory damages of $5,000 per violation. Multiply that by potentially millions of users or meetings.
Oof. That could be astronomical. It really raises the question about consent, doesn't it? Where is the line when AI is listening in, maybe even on conversations you assumed were private?
Exactly. It puts a huge spotlight on how companies collect data for AI training and what transparency they owe users.
Definitely something to watch. Okay, before we wrap up, let's do that rapid fire round. Just hit a few other things that happened around August 18th, just to show the sheer pace of this stuff.
Okay, rapid fire. On that day, reports surfaced Meta was planning another AI division restructure. That would be their fourth in just 6 months.
Fourth restructure. Wow, things are moving fast there.
Seems like constant change.
Yeah.
Also, StepFun AI released Next Step One. That's a new open source model for generating images, claims state-of-the-art results for autoregressive models.
Okay, better open source image AI.
Yep. Metafair, their research division, introduced Dino 3. This is a new AI model for understanding images, a vision foundation model. Top performance, apparently, without needing labeled training data.
No labels needed. That's a big deal for efficiency.
Huge deal. The U.S. government rolled out USAI. That's a platform for federal agencies to securely use different AI tools like chatbots or coding assistants.
Government getting its own secure AI platform. Makes sense.
And maybe a bit more fun. OpenAI's GPT-5 showed real progress playing old Pokemon games on the Game Boy. It managed to beat Pokemon Red using almost a third fewer steps than the previous model, O3.
Ha! Even AI likes Pokemon, but faster, more efficient playing. Interesting. That really does show the breadth, doesn't it? Government, research, gaming, corporate shakeups, all in a day or so.
All happening constantly.
What a journey we've been on today, really.
Mm.
From, like, decoding thoughts inside our heads and fighting killer vegetaria.
Yeah.
All the way to these huge ethical debates about AI wellness and kids' toys and these almost unbelievable trillion-dollar ambitions from companies like OpenAI.
It's a massive scope.
It really feels like AI has moved from being this sort of niche tech tool to something just pervasive. It's everywhere, reshaping how we interact, our privacy, everything.
Absolutely. I mean, connecting it all, the big picture is clear. AI isn't just in the labs anymore. It's actively weaving itself into, well, pretty much every part of our world.
Yeah.
It's changing daily life,
yeah.
Healthcare, how we work, our understanding of privacy, even consciousness, maybe. The shift from AI being just a tool to maybe an AI co-creator or like an implicit partner in our lives, it's happening fast.
An implicit partner.
Yeah.
Okay, so that leaves us with a final provocative thought for you, the listener, to maybe chew on.
Mm-hmm.
As these AI capabilities keep accelerating, as they seep into every corner of our lives, from the silent thoughts in our heads to the toys our kids play with, to critical decisions in hospitals, how do you think our collective responsibility needs to evolve? How do we make sure this incredible, profound power is used wisely, ethically, and actually for the good of everyone?